The book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter number 1, and we want to look at one of the great churches in the Bible. It's always exciting to see new churches. My wife and I had the privilege to go out and be in Montana for a while for one of the churches that we helped start out there in Montana. And I'm going to tell you what, it was just, it was a new work, hadn't been established that long. And, we had men that went out and worked on the building. We had some folks that went out and passed out gospel tracts and invitations and things like that. And, you know, we had a big part in that. And, of course, we financed a lot of that. We put some money into it. And there was a lot of people praying for that. And I'll tell you, when we went out there, and we saw it, this was, I guess, a couple of years after it had been going there. And I'm going to tell you, it was an exciting place to be. You could not help but be excited because the people were excited. Many of those folks had just been saved. They hadn't been saved a long time. And they had got a church. Now they've got a church where, you know, the gospel's being preached. And, man, I tell you, things were looking good and things were going good. And the church was growing. And I tell you, it was an exciting place to be. And I told them, we were talking about some things and all. And I said, well, you know, I see the biggest problem I see is where are you going to put the people? Where are you going to put them? Because there were so many people coming. I mean, just about every service, it was on one of these, you know, main strips of highway there. And, you know, a lot of people went by there. And just about every service, somebody was just popping in. They just stopped in. And they said, man, we saw the church or we saw the sign and we wanted to know what was going on. We wanted to see what was happening here. And so we've come just to visit the church. And I tell you, it was an exciting thing. And you know, there's nothing more exciting than a church that's just getting started and just starting off like that and seeing people get saved. And boy, there's just an excitement there. It's just like when people get saved. How many of you remember, don't raise your hand, but how many of you remember when you got saved, when you just got saved? I mean, you hadn't been saved that long, and maybe you didn't really realize it the night you got saved or the day you got saved, but a little bit later on, you found a good church, and you started going to church, and you started realizing what, you know, all the things that God had done for you. He saved you. You realize that you probably didn't understand it right at that moment, but the burden of sin had been lifted off. And buddy, I tell you, it was just exciting to you. And the pastor would get up and he'd say, hey, we're gonna have a work day down here. And you thought, a work day, man, that means I get to go to church. There's another day I get to go to church. And man, you were excited about that. And you wrote that down and you put it on your calendar. Hey, I don't want to miss this. Or we're going to have a men's meeting. Or hey, we're going to have a scripture project. That ain't working, is it? Scripture project, you know. And anybody and everybody wants to can come. No charge for admission or anything like that. Just walk in the door, you know. All right. Well, anyway, so there was an excitement there. I mean, I'll never forget when my wife and I hadn't been saved that long. Matter of fact, members of Calvary Baptist Church, members, and we got saved and became real members of Calvary Baptist Church. It wasn't long after that. I can remember. If one of the kids got sick, you know, she's the wife. She's the woman, right? She had to stay home, take care of the children. But she soon let me know that, you know, I'm the man of the house. And I could stay home, take care of the children just like she could, and she could go to church. And we'd have a little friction there about who was going to get to go to church and who had to stay home. And we were excited. We were afraid. We didn't want to miss a service. We wanted to be here. We wanted to hear everything that was being preached. I mean, we were excited. I mean, we wanted everything we could get. We would take notes. We'd have our Bibles open. And I mean, man, if the door opened, if it just cracked a little bit, we got in there. Y'all remember that? Well, folks, can I tell you, that's the way it's supposed to be all the time. That's the way it's always supposed to be. But you know what happens? Here's what happens. There's a danger. You see, the world is all, the devil, the world is always, our flesh is always pulling on us. It's always telling us, hey, come over here. Calm down a little bit. Hey, settle down. Don't be so radical about this. I mean, you know, everything's going to be okay. You don't have to worry so much about it. And you don't have to be there every time the doors are open and on it. You know, it's just, it's always a pull. And it's always the devil. And your old flesh is trying to get you to slow down. You see, the devil don't want you to be excited about serving God. The devil doesn't want you to be excited about going to church and reading your Bible and telling other folks about Jesus and all that kind of thing. But I'll tell you what, it is like I said, it's just so refreshing when you see that. You see somebody get saved and they get on fire for God. And I mean, boy, they want to serve God. It kind of helps us sometimes to see that, you know what, hey, you know, maybe I have maybe slacked off a little bit and I need to kind of get fired back up again. I need to get a little bit closer to the flame and get going or get back to where I need to be with the Lord. I'll never forget an illustration that I heard one time. I thought it was so good. The old preacher goes out to visit one of his members that hadn't been coming as regularly as he used to. Used to be just as faithful as he could be, but he'd kind of got out of the habit, and he just didn't come quite as often as he used to. And the old preacher was going to go out and visit him, and he's trying to think to himself, and he's praying, God, how can I reach this man? How can I show him and let him know how important it is to be in church, to be faithful to God's house? How can, Lord, I need your help to be able to illustrate this to him in some way. Lord, help me, give me the words to say. And so we got there, and, you know, it just seemed like the Lord wasn't going to answer his prayer because he just couldn't figure out anything to say. He just didn't know what to tell the man. He knew that he knew what was right, and he ought to be in church, and he ought to be faithful, but I don't know, he just couldn't find the words. And so he sat up, he was close to the fire there, and he was sitting by the fire, and of course the older gentleman was sitting there with him, close to the fire. And he looked over there, and he saw one of those embers, and the thought hit him. He said, here, I know what to do. He got that old poker, and he took one of those big old embers, and he just pulled it out there on the hearth just a little bit, got it away from the flame there. And so he sat there and he didn't say a word, and he just kind of watched it and he kind of looked at it. And the old man was curious, and he was thinking, what in the world is this guy doing? And he's noticing it, and he noticed it being away from the fire. All of a sudden that thing's, it was cherry red, and now it's starting to turn a little bit black. And he could see that it's starting to cool off a little bit, and he could see that, you know, the difference that it made being away from the flame over there. And the old preacher just sat there for about 15 minutes and just let that thing go almost completely out. And then he took that poker and he took it and he pushed it right back over there to the flame. And as soon as he did that, almost immediately, that thing turned red again. And he could see the difference that the fire made. And the thought hit him. And the man said, well, you know, that's exactly the way it is for a Christian. As soon as he gets away from the fire, as soon as the fire starts, he starts getting a little bit cooler, you can see the difference. And you get away from God, you get away from the heat here and the flames, and you start turning cold, a little bit colder on God, and next thing you know, you're just cold. You just get cold on God. But you know what happens? When you realize that, and you know, notice that, and you see that, what do? You get back close to the flame there. And you get that fire back in you again. And folks, sometimes I know, we all need that. We all need to be reminded, listen, that we're in a race, and we can't quit. We just can't quit. We can't stop. We've got to keep going. We've got to keep on going for God. And so let's look at some things here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. And as you know, what manner of men we were among you for your sake, and ye became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also at every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And let's just bow for a quick word of prayer if we could. And Lord, we just ask that you'd bless the reading of your word here this morning or this evening, and pray that you'd use it. Lord, speak to our hearts. Help me as I preach tonight. Use the message, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture, boy, I tell you, we see a church here that's on fire for God. We see a church that's excited about serving God. And the reason we know that, not only because the Scriptures tell us that's what's going on, but we see it in their life. We see it in their actions that they do. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, sometimes we need to be reminded. Sometimes we have to see for ourselves, hey, you know, I thought to myself I was doing pretty good, but when I look at the Scriptures and I see what these folks were doing, I think to myself, maybe I need to get a little bit closer to the flame. Sometimes I need to get a little bit closer to the fire there. And so let's look at some things here tonight and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts about our zeal, our fire for the Lord. Are we on fire like we used to be? You know, the book of Revelation talks about losing your first love, that new and exciting love about serving God. Boy, I tell you, we need to always be reminded of that and go back to that, keep that in our lives, all right? The first thing I want you to see here is Paul and the message. What was the message that Paul had? What was the message that Paul used? Look in verse number 5 there. We read it, but let's just look at it again. The Bible says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." But he's talking about the gospel. Well, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, we don't need a new message. We don't need anything that's different than what Paul had here all the way back here at this early church. When he went to this church, it wasn't something fancy or something, you know, that he was trying to impress anybody with. He just plainly gave them the gospel. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He arose again the third day. And sometimes I think, you know, because the message is so simple, sometimes we think to ourselves, well, maybe it just don't work anymore. Well, folks, let me just tell you, it does work. It always will work because it's God's word. It's not man. It's not the messenger as much as it is the message. And the message is always the same. And it's the only message that we need. Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He arose again the third day. And folks, I'm just going to tell you, it's just as simple as that. Give folks the gospel. That's what they need. And we're going to see, by the way, we already know this. This is not something that, that we don't already know. We already know it. The gospel, it's the word of God that changes people. It's not the man. The man, you know, it's not that I'm not trying to take away from Paul, but it's the word of God that's powerful. It's God's word. And we know that as long as his word is given out, then it's going to do the job. He tells us here that he gave the word here. It came out in great power. And then the Bible says that the Holy Ghost used that word, and he's the one that changed the lives of these people. The second thing I want you to see here, not only did we talk about the message, but I want you to see Paul for just a minute. Paul, and I always hesitate, and I always try to be very careful when I brag on man. Because, like I said, man is not the important thing. It's not the man, it's the message. It's God's word, okay? God's word changes lives. But God uses men. God uses men. God uses men in your life, and God used men in my life. And I'm going to tell you, without people, other people, giving us the word, without people teaching for us and preaching to us and giving us and discipling us and trying to help us and encourage us along, where in the world would we be? Where would we be? Well, it doesn't mean that we couldn't grow. It doesn't mean that we couldn't be, what we need to be. But I'm going to tell you what, it's so much better and it's so much easier when you got somebody to come along beside you there and help you and show you and disciple you with the Word. And so we see here that Paul was a great help to these folks right there. Anytime Paul went to a place, he always preached and he always preached the gospel. He gave them the Word of God. And the Bible says here, as you look down here in verse number 6, he says this, "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the Word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost." And so we see this word followers, and we have our word, our English word, imitator. And so what we're really saying here is these people imitated Paul as Paul imitated Christ. You see, that's the key. If you find a man that's following Jesus Christ, then it's all right to follow that man. But if that man is not following Jesus Christ, stay away from him. Leave him alone. By the way, that we're talking about if he's a preacher, if he's not a preacher. You know, not every preacher is a follower of Jesus Christ. Not every church member is a follower of Jesus Christ. It's important that they are following Christ. And as they follow Jesus Christ, then listen, that's the kind of people we need to follow. That's the kind of people that we need to pattern our life after, because they'll help you. They'll help you. I'll never forget, and I'm so thankful. I was thinking about it today as I was thinking about the message. I'm so thankful that I was born and raised in this area. Right down here in Rural Hall, just a couple miles down the road here. I'm thankful for that. Because of that, my mom and dad, who were good Christian folks anyway, and they tried to raise us, you know, the best they could, raise us right, have us in church and all that. But you know, when I got out on my own, I did what I wanted to do. I followed my own path. Of course, it was the wrong path, but I followed it. And so I wasn't even close to being close to God. But I'll never forget my dad saying, he had just started going to Calvary down to Old Truck Stop, and he says, "Listen, you got to come hear this man. You got to come hear this new preacher that we just got down here at Calvary." And I was about as interested in that as I am, you know, whatever, something else. But he said, "You got to come here." He said, "This man is on fire. You got to come. You have got to come hear this man preach." And of course, I was not interested in any way, shape, or form. I didn't want to go, didn't want to be a part of it. I've always said, that when I first heard about Calvary or saw Calvary or came to Calvary the first time I ever come, I said, "Those people, that's the biggest bunch of redneck people I've ever seen, met, heard of, been around in my entire life." I said, I didn't tell him this, but I didn't want to be around them. Didn't want, no way, shape, or form. I didn't want to be here. Didn't want to come here. All right? But I did, you know, every once in a while I would go and that kind of thing. And I'll be honest with you, I wasn't impressed one bit with Roger Baker. He was the pastor, Roger Baker. I wasn't the least bit impressed with him. Not in any way was I impressed. All right? But you know what? My mom and dad, they just kept working on us. They just kept going. They kept praying. I know my sisters would pray for me, me and my wife, and you know, just went on and on. Well, finally come to the point to where we were going through some difficult times in our life, and we said, "You know what? We need to be in church. We're going to start going to church. We don't need it, but you know, our daughter, she needs it, and we were raised in church. We want her to be in church." And so, you know what? We started going to church. We started going to Calvary. And sure enough, when we did, my dad had a good friend named Jimmy Cartwright. And we didn't know it, but Jimmy Cartwright was a undercover agent for the Secret Service. And buddy, I'm telling you what, he could have been a IRS agent. He hounded us, he followed us, he pursued us, he worried us to death. We we would see him coming and we would run the other way. We would try to get in our car just as quick as we could to get away from this man, but he would not leave us alone. Would not. And we couldn't understand what in the world his problem was, but he was just really an out and out pest, okay? And he just kept on. And we would go to church and, you know, we finally joined. We joined the church. We said, all right, we're just going to join. And so we started going. And you know what? Lo and behold, what happened? We finally come to the realization of what the whole problem was. It wasn't Roger Baker or Jimmy Cartwright or Calvary Baptist Church. The problem was Scott Vernon and Debbie Vernon. And we got saved. We trusted Christ as our Savior. And the funny thing happened was God changed our life. He changed our life. You see, we were going in one direction away from God, but when we got saved, we started going toward God. And it made all the difference in the world. And I'm telling you, had it not been for some people in my life, in our life, where in the world would we be? But listen, thank the Lord he didn't stop there. We see, because when we got saved, we had a good church that we could go to. And we kept hearing the Word of God being preached. Can I tell you, I didn't understand most of what he was talking about. I didn't, you know, all the time I didn't understand what he was saying or what he was trying to get across. But I knew that something was going on. I knew there was something going on. I mean, I knew God was working in my heart. And I didn't change overnight, but I tell you what I did do. I did change. And I started changing. By the way, I'm still changing. And God is still working in my heart. God has never given up on me. He continuously changes me. Folks, can I tell you, that's exactly what the Word of God does when we hear the Word of God being preached. And that's exactly what happens to us when we have people that try to help us and disciple us. And you get a pastor, you got a pastor that comes up and he preaches the Word of God to us. God uses that to change our life. Now, folks, can I just tell you, you know, there's something about this thing of changing. The Word of God, the Bible tells us that the Word of God is powerful. It's powerful. And it's the only thing that I know of that can change a man or change a woman. It's nothing else. And it, by the way, it doesn't necessarily, like I said, doesn't necessarily matter if it's the man, as long as he's got the right message. He's got the message, and it's the Word of God that changes life. Folks, I'm telling you, the Word of God's powerful. And by the way, can I tell you, when I say changed, I mean it's a change of life, a change of lifestyle. It's a change of thinking. All these things change. And you know, sometimes you see people that you go to church with, or you see people out in the world, or you see people that you work with and you rub shoulders with, or maybe people in your family that claim to be Christian, and you've never seen a change in their life. You know, when you see that, it has to make you think that maybe they didn't get the same thing you got. Now, folks, if you got saved and you still, or say you got saved or made a profession, whatever it is, and you're still living the same kind of life or similar to the same kind of life that you used to live or you've always lived, you didn't get the same thing. Because God will change you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what? He's a new creature. Old things are what? Passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, Jesus Christ will change your life. But it's a powerful message. It's a powerful message. And when you get saved, God changes your life. God uses men. God uses people in your life to help you to grow and start living for God. And that's exactly what these folks had. You see, they got saved. They heard the Word of God being preached. And they got saved. They trusted Christ as their Savior. God changed their life. And then they started imitating this man that was giving them the message, giving them the Word of God. And folks, it just made all the difference. It made all the difference in the world. All right? The church had a consecrated ministry here. In other words, they were serious about telling others about Jesus Christ. Paul tells us he thanked God. There was three things that he thanked God for that these folks had evidence, the evidence in their life. First of all, their faith was alive. It was a work of faith. The Bible says they turned to God from idols. It was a work of faith. They turned to God. George Law always emphasized this one thing on ordination council or anything like that. Anytime that you was around him very long, he would always emphasize the fact that you don't turn from sin to God. You always turn to God from sin. And the difference is, when you turn to God, you automatically will turn from your sin. But if you turn from your sin, you might just turn to some other kind of sin. Or you might turn to something else that may not be sinful, but you know it's not what God wants you to. Folks, listen. When we get saved, it's because we have turned to God. We've turned to God. You see, and when we turn to God, everything else is behind us. That's what God wants us to do. That's the direction God wants us to go. And so he says here, you've turned to God from idols. Can I tell you, an idol is a dead god? And what these folks were doing, they turned from a dead god to a living god. And that's what he says here, to the living, true and living God. That's who they turned to. And when they did, like I said, it changed their life. Their faith was alive. Second of all, their love was active. They had a labor of love. What was it? To serve the true and the living God. They wanted to serve Him. And that word for serve there is the same word that's used for the word slave. They wanted to be a slave to God. They wanted to give their life totally to God. Folks, can I tell you, when we turn to God, really what we're saying is, Lord, I'm giving you everything in my life. I'm giving up all my dreams, all my expectations. Lord, my job is yours. My house is yours. My car is yours. Everything is yours. My family, everything's yours. I'm your slave. You know, a slave has no rights. A slave has no expectations. A slave all he's there for is to serve the master. Now, folks, because of the connotation of that word there, we don't really like that word. But that's a Bible word. And that's what God wants us to be. God wants us to be a slave to Him. God wants us to give everything to Him, totally to Him, that we might serve Him. Because, listen, He's done so much for us. Why would we not do that for Him? All right? And so, their love was active. It was a labor of love to serve the true and the living God. And then their hope was abundant. Hope that was focused on the return of Christ. You know what he says here? Look at what he says there in verse number 10. He says to wait for his son. In the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, most of us know this. Most of us are familiar with chapter 4. The Bible talks about there the rapture or the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that theme or that thought right there is enough to change anybody's life. To think, have this thought, that the Lord could come back at any moment. If we really, really, really believed the Lord could come back at any moment, it changed the way we lived. It changed it. If we thought that before we went home tonight, the Lord was going to come back, would you go home a different way than you came here tonight? Would you go by anybody's house and say, you know what, I've got it on good authority, the Lord's coming back tonight. And I want to tell you one last time before it was too late. Would there be anybody that came to your mind that you would want to tell about the Lord? Would there be any wrongs that you needed to make right before the Lord came back tonight, if you knew that He was coming back? Do you know, we don't know the Lord when He's going to come back, do we? Do you believe He could come back tonight? Do you believe He could come back tonight? Well, I believe it, but I'm not expecting it. If we would be honest, we believe it. Don't know that I am expecting it. And folks, I'm just going to say that what happens to us is after we've been saved for a while, we kind of get used to things. And if we're not careful, folks, we're just being honest. If we're not careful, we'll get away from the flame there. We'll get a little bit away from God, and we'll start cooling off a little bit. And you know what happens? By the way, can I just tell you, that happens to everybody. Everybody goes through that. That's the reason why we have to be reminded. That's the reason why we have to keep coming back and keep getting preached to. If we'd learned it all the first time, we wouldn't have to keep getting preached to, you know, all the time. But we need all. Sometimes we just need to be reminded that we may not be as close to God as we need to be. And it may be we need to be reminded of the fact that the Lord could come back at any moment. You know, this really, you think about it, as bad as the world is these days, don't you think that this would be a good year for the Lord to come back? Have you ever had this thought, I don't know how he could not come back this year? The world is in such a shape. You know, sometimes you just think as the world keeps getting worse and worse, that surely he's going to come back soon. He's got to. Just seems like he has to. Well, folks, I'm just going to tell you, we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that, you know what, there's always too soon to quit. And we need to get back to that excitement that we used to have and we need to have if we're going to try to win the world to Christ. You know what they said here, we didn't take time, but the Bible says that everywhere they went, they witnessed. Everywhere. You know, I think it's one of the most important things that we should do as a Christian is witness everywhere we go. I was talking to a brother here last night. He was showing me some things about how he could. He pulled up an app on the phone there and was showing me some things how he could witness to all kinds of people in all kinds of different languages. And I thought, man, that's a great tool. That's a great thing to have. You run into somebody that speaks a language that you don't speak, and you could pull it up on your phone and say, here's the gospel in your language. And, you know, all kinds of things that we could be doing today, radio, internet, faith, all kinds of things that we can do to witness. But, you know, there's nothing that takes the place of saying, you know, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You know, if you were to die today, do you know for sure where you'd spend eternity? There's just nothing takes place of that. Folks, listen, let's get out the gospel. Let's get out the gospel. Let's do more for God this year than we've ever done before. Let's witness more. Let's hand out more tracts. Let's tell more folks about the Lord than we ever have before. Time is short. Never know when the Lord's going to come back. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, as we come